This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The city of Bethel may get involved in erosion response. Earlier this month, the Coast Guard ordered the Lower Kuskokwim School District to move its fuel tanks in Apakiak. The tanks are less than 100 feet from the eroding coast. The school district says it has the removal under control, but is asked to buy the city tanks for temporary use. The city council will consider the sale tonight. Also tonight, the Pinkies Park lighting saga continues. Council will take another look at an ordinance to use city funds to install lighting on the boardwalk near Pinkies Park. The introduction of this ordinance originally failed at the last council meeting, but Mayor Fred Watson called a special meeting to revote and the introduction passed. The city council will also look at an opportunity for another laundromat in Bethel in a familiar location. Resident Young Sun Park wants to renovate the city's old laundromat building and run it as a laundromat. The building on 832 Ridgecrest Drive has earlier been considered for demolition. You can hear the meeting live tonight starting at 6:30 on KYUK. Moving on to more city news, residents of Bethel will get a chance to look at the effects of alcohol on health and safety. Tomorrow, the Institute for Circumpolar Health Studies will report whether public safety went up or down after two big events, Bethel choosing to go wet in 2009 and the liquor store opening in 2016. There are several ways communities can limit alcohol sales with local option, but the Institute wants to hear from the community about whether there should be different options than the ones available. They'll be at the Cultural Center tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. And Governor Dunleavy has made cutting government a centerpiece of his administration. But much of the biggest cut he made to this year's budget may not be a cut at all. That's because it's to Medicaid, and federal law limits how deeply the state can cut Medicaid, which provides health care to lower-income Alaskans. Alaska Public Media and K2OO's Andrew Kitchenman reports on why cutting Medicaid isn't simple.
It's hard to cut state government spending without cutting Medicaid, since the program is such a large chunk of the state budget. But that doesn't mean it's easy to cut Medicaid. That's because except for a few optional services, it's an entitlement under federal law. Once a state makes someone eligible for Medicaid, they're entitled to receive health care, and their provider is entitled to be paid. So when Governor Mike Dunleavy announced his budget proposal in February, his administration said it would cut $249 million from Medicaid, more than a third of what the state spends on the program.
If the governor wants to make meaningful reductions in state spending, he almost has to cut Medicaid and education.
That's Becky Holtberg, president and CEO of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. A month after the governor released his budget proposal, the first details about Medicaid were announced, and about half of the cut to the program was put off to the future. And policy experts say portions of the cut that were proposed were either not fully sketched out or were unrealistic to achieve in the time frame laid out by the administration. Here's Holtberg.
We're concerned that the governor's Medicaid cuts are not transparent and that they're not real. They're not transparent because the department has not identified how it is going to achieve these savings.
And she says they're not real because they don't change who's eligible for health care services. Holtberg says if you're really going to cut Medicaid, that's what you have to do. Dunleavy's proposal to cut Medicaid includes roughly $20 million it says it will achieve by finding efficiencies working with President Donald Trump's administration. But the Dunleavy administration hasn't released any specifics on how that will happen. Dunleavy's office didn't respond to a request for comment before the deadline for this story. Holtberg says providers want to work to make Medicaid more efficient, but she says that shouldn't start with an immediate budget cut in mind.
Responsible governing means you identify a goal, you create a plan to achieve that goal, and then you develop a budget to accomplish that plan. The governor is not following that logical process. He's going to the end, which is let's take the budget reduction first, and then let's back our way into a plan. And unfortunately, the dollars in Medicaid affect people's lives. That's an incredibly irresponsible way to govern.
Two Medicaid cuts that have occurred are a 5% reduction in payments to many providers and eliminating preventive dental care to adults. The consequences of these changes are starting to ricochet around Alaska's healthcare system. For example, the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center provides care to low-income Alaskans. They're not hit with the 5% pay cut, and they may be able to continue to provide dental care to adults with Medicaid. But if other providers either can't or won't provide care due to the cuts, the center may not have the capacity to pick up the slack. Tammy Green is the CEO of the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. She says her clinic can't provide dental care to everyone losing access due to the elimination of Medicaid adult preventive dental.
What I do know is at this point, there's no way we could, you know, meet that capacity.
Green says how the state approaches Medicaid payments in the long term could have a big effect on the number of doctors and other providers who take Medicaid patients.
That's part of our angst a little bit, is just the unknown. We just don't know where things are going. And to be honest, I don't think the state does exactly either.
Green says health centers like hers have a good relationship with the state and are eager to be partners. But she hopes future spending cuts begin with a focus on what's best for the health of those who've been served by Medicaid, and that the state seeks input from providers. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And finally, in more health news, there's a shortage of public health nurses in Bethel. The situation is easing, but it has been limiting what's available for people who depend on public health services in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Three public health nurses have left or plan to leave Bethel in the past 4 months, and it's taking a while to train and bring new ones up to speed. That leaves residents in the YK Delta in a tight spot. Public health nurses usually test for tuberculosis and sexually transmitted infections. Timothy Struna is chief of public health nursing at the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. He says the state had to scale back prevention efforts because of the shortage.
So we haven't been able to go into the villages and meet with tribal or city council or other key stakeholders to provide more of a primary prevention message.
But Struna has seen this before. He worked in Bethel as a public health nurse himself for 5 years a decade ago. These shortages occur in phases, but he's hopeful that they'll be able to solve this one, at least in the short term. Usually public health has 11 nurses in Bethel. Right now, only 6 of those positions are filled. Bethel's remote location and not having stores like Walmart can deter some applicants. Dealing with historical trauma and hefty caseloads factor in as well. Struna says they mitigate the burnout by not giving nurses too many cases and bringing staff from other offices to help when there aren't enough nurses. He recognizes that turnover rates will always be high, but says this is something that's become more common in the whole field of nursing.
So we will have nurses come, and not necessarily just in Bethel, but they'll work for, you know, 3 to 5 years, and then they will be interested in living in another part of the state or living in another state altogether or providing a different specialty within the nursing profession. And so I don't think that it's unique to public health nursing.
Struna says public health is focused on hiring locals. But in 2016, a budget cut eliminated an entry position that gave local hires a leg up in Bethel. He doesn't know when they'll bring back that position.
It's not an option at this point, but it is certainly something that we're always trying to figure out how to bring back.
Meanwhile, a new nurse has already started working here, and another one is expected next month. In Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukden News coming up.